distance and unity create in us love of God, as we have shown repeatedly. You know how frequently the Lord exhorts us to love God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God. The two objects, love and fear of God, are acquired by two different means. Okay? The love is the result of the truth taught in the law, including the true knowledge of the existence of God, while fear of God is produced by the practices prescribed in the law. Note this explanation. Amazing, very interesting. And it's I think he's saying the same thing he says in the Pirush HaMishnayos, but he's elaborating a little more. And really, the truth of the matter is that the Rambam says here is one of the most difficult things that philosophers could not figure out about Yadda. It's a question that misled most people. Even people who try to understand Yadus and try to understand the Rambam philosophically, this was something they couldn't quite grasp, you see. You see, people can understand being a philosopher. Being a philosopher means you're a free individual. There were great philosophers. Being a philosopher as a free individual means just free to follow wisdom and knowledge that a person has, that the human being has. So this is something which is a way that people, philosophers, have understood. The way of Torah has one difference. The way of Torah has that, and that's what the Ram says is Avas Hashem, that's the ultimate goal. But Torah demands also, simultaneously, that you cannot leave the area of the Kedishas HaYetzer and the fear of God and the and being bound, once a person subordinating himself to the Asiyas HaMitzvahs, to the Mitzvahs Maisios. If he does that, if he foregoes that, then he's almost helpless. Okay. The Yadus recognize that human nature is such that a person without the mitzvahs, and you notice the Rambam is very careful. The Rambam says that the when he says the mitzvahs, he says what I have here pointed out to you is the object of all religious acts. For by carrying out all the details of the prescribed practices and repeating them continually, some few pious men may attain human perfection. So it means not just doing mitzvahs, but doing mitzvahs b'chol diktu keho prateho. It's an interesting thing. The mitzvahs demand precision in every detail. Just is not a, that's something the world could not grasp, could not understand. Why is it so important to do the mitzvahs? But not just the mitzvahs, but the mitzvahs are very, very complex and very precise and very detailed, and every detail is important. Every detail is important. That has to do with the whole of human nature. That the mitzvahs are constructed in a way that the details, of course the details mean to understand the details and the formula and the concepts and the ideas of all the mitzvahs and maisios lead a person to a certain state of mind, a certain state of human existence. In that state, if he arrives at that state, that's what Ram says, the person must seek that state. If he arrives on that state is like a platform from where he could launch his Avas Hashem. That's really the formula of Kula Tara Kula. But to understand why this is so, the only one that can understand why this is so is a person that has full knowledge of the human psyche, you see. Full knowledge of the human psyche. But that's the problem, that's really the problem with why philosophers were unable to understand this, to understand that. Because no one ever had that kind of a knowledge. No one ever had that kind of a knowledge. The knowledge is a knowledge. This formula, the formula of the Torah, is based on the ultimate understanding of human nature. and all the intricacies of the human psyche. And without that kind of understanding, you can't understand the formula of Torah. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to give the Torah. And that's why there were people who were true philosophers that couldn't understand the formula. The ones that understood the formula were the ones that subordinated themselves to the fact that there is something very deep going on here, and they followed afterwards in a method where they accepted the system and tried to unravel ideas from the system itself. You see, that's a different process of understanding and pursuit of knowledge than a person just sitting down and saying, I'm starting with my own, starting from scratch with my own knowledge. Can't do it. Not possible. But if a person takes the Torah as a given and then starts unraveling the chachma that's in it, he will start to see aspects of human nature and ideas about a person, and then he'll understand why it has to be this way. The Rambam, that's why the Rambam is very kind of like oblique. I mean, he's not really precise, because he knows he can't be precise over here, other than giving you the main formula, because it's totally in a kind of a knowledge that's ultimately is the realm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But a person can also can enter insofar as he's able to, can gain a tremendous amount of knowledge, that's Tzelem Elokim. But the only thing is that he has to rely on the system as a starting point. Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. So what the Rambam is saying is that's what the Rambam is saying in both places, really. And that's a big mistake that people made, a lot of people made. This, the mistake, the inability to understand this idea of the Rambam caused a lot of different kinds of false philosophies. It caused false philosophies where people assume that the mitzvahs, since their purpose is Avas Hashem, so I can disregard them. Don't have to do that. And what's the need for all this precision? You see? And of course, that kind of a way of thinking. But of course, also an opposite kind of thinking. A kind of thinking where the mitzvahs themselves became essential, as if the doing of these mitzvahs themselves somehow or other are metaphysical acts that change the soul and create the whole kind of a metaphysical personality in high olam haba. You see, that was another wrong path. You can go either way. Difficult is the right way. The Rambam is saying the way, and that is that that's what he means by yira. You see, yira means, the idea of yira is the recognition that a person can, while the ultimate is chachma sa'adam, that's the ultimate chachma, the Rambam says, whatever it says chachma means yidiyas Hashem. That's the ultimate. But a person cannot just be, in our philosophy, a person can't be a freelance thinker. There's no room for a freelance thinker in the society of Torah. Society of Torah demands, because of human nature, that the person be bound by the halacha, by a halachic system. This halachic system will put a person on a certain plane of existence. That plane of existence is the one from which he can launch the true Avas Hashem. And it's a complex system. It's not easy. It's a complex system, not a simple mitzvah. It's every detail. There's a reason for every detail. The adherence to mitzvahs demands a precision and an understanding and a knowledge and a theoretical knowledge, but nevertheless, as deep as it is and as precise as it is and as demanding as it is, it still is not the ultimate. That's only yira. The ultimate is Avas Hashem. That's what the Rambam. That's what the Rambam basically says. Rambam says it again. He says it again over here. He says it again in the end where he quotes the Chazal. The Chazal say, V'chol chafatzecha. It says in the very end, it says, the passage occurs in Bereishis Rabbah. In one place, Scripture says, and all things that are desirable are not to be compared to her. And in another place, and all things that you desire, kol chafatzecha, are not to be compared to her. Okay? It's both in Mishlei. By things that are desirable, Chazal say, the performance of divine precepts and good deeds is to be understood. While things that you desire refers to precious stones and pearls. Okay? So what it says is both, the Rambam concludes, things that are desirable objectively, which is the mitzvahs, and things that you desire, which is the things, the material things, cannot be compared to wisdom. And that's why it says, Kiyim b'zos yisal l'mithal. Okay? So it's a difficult system. It does not satisfy a person's emotions. It doesn't satisfy a person. A person's emotions would be very satisfied, I thought, when they put on tefillin that, who knows what metaphysical accomplishment has taken place. And that's the ultimate. I'm engaged in the ultimate. I'm doing the ultimate. To realize that you're engaged in something which is indispensable, which is desirable, but is not the ultimate. That's a difficult state for man. See, but that's really what the Torah demands. That's what the Torah demands of a person. That he recognizes, as important as the mitzvahs are, as demanding, as indispensable as they are, ultimate it's not. Chol kol chafotzecha and kol chafetzim, kol chafetzim, what's the passage? La yishvala, la yishvala, la yishvala. Okay, la yishvala. It's a hard, it puts a person in a very humble position, But that really is, that's what the Rambam is explaining. That's what Antigna Shisocha said. That Altiyah Kavadam and Hashem Shem as a Rav Almanasl Kabal Pras, you should be Oved Me'ava, but in Kol Zeh, have a Yehima Rishamayim Aleichem. But still you cannot abandon the system of Yura. The system of Yura is found where? In Kiyam HaMitzvahs. V'chol Dikdikah HaOpratah. That's the pshat. Okay, so now that we went off on this course, now let's go back to the to Kehelas. So but now,
of course, that's
yes.
The year of Sefer Mitzvot, right?
Excuse me.
The year of Sefer Mitzvot.
Which is the year?
The year you're referring to now. You can't abandon. Not the year of the Yad. Not the year that comes as part of Avos Hashem. The year in the Sefer Mitzvot.
Yeah. Right. That's right. The year in Sefer Mitzvot. That's right. Year in Sefer. So now the answer is, so why did Kehelas end? He said, Sof Dovra Kol Nishma. Es Elokim Yirah Ves Mitzvos of Shemar Ki Zeh Kol Adam. Why didn't he say, Sof Dovra Kol Nishma Es Elokim Ahov Vos of Sira Ves Mitzvos of Shemar Ki Zeh Kol Adam? What's the reason? What he's saying is that Avas Hashem is not the area of this sefer. Because Avas Hashem, you see, is where the person's engaged in the ultimate existence. That's Moshe Rabbeinu, the ultimate state. That is nothing, that's not Sefer Kehelas. Sefer Kehelas, insofar as a person's engaged, and by the way, when Chazal say Avod Me'ava and Avod Me'ira, it means that it's simultaneous. It's true that one precedes the other. One precedes the other in terms of ideas. But in terms of human existence, they're both simultaneous. In okay, one moment, the person can be Oved Me'ava, another moment, he's Oved Me'ira. You see? So even though Ava is after Yira precedes Ava. That's in the intrinsic structure. But in terms of human existence, they're both simultaneous. So really, so what Shlomo Melech was saying is like this, that the area of human ambition is the in other words, the remedy is from the same world which is satisfied by Yira. You see, the Torah has two programs. Okay, they're two separate programs, but they're both, like I said, they're both simultaneously employed. Okay, there's a program of Ava, and there's a program of Yira. Insofar as the program of Ava is concerned, there's no kalos. There's no kalos. Because insofar as that program is concerned, so the person is involved, all his energies are simply consumed in the highest level, the highest way possible. There's nothing to talk about. But Kehelas was talking about psychological man. Psychological man, insofar as he has drives and psychological ambitions, you see, that the antidote for that comes not from the world of not from the program of Allah, but from which program? The program of Europe. You see? And the satisfaction that he has is really related to that element of man for which Yira was created. Because there's no question, you'll say, yeah, but the fact is that when a person was engaged, let's say a person was engaged in learning the Ava, and then afterwards he reflects on what he did, and he thinks to himself, shuckles that can aga kol olam kulo. So he feels good. He satisfies that element in his nature. Okay? So is that Me'ava, or that's Me'ira? The answer is that's Me'ira. You see? Because the activity may have been activity of Ava. But insofar as the person needs a certain kind of satisfaction, he's going into the realm for which Yira was created. You understand? The realm of man that must have the The asiyas ha-mitzvah. So what does the asiyas ha-mitzvah caters to a certain part of man, a certain part of his nature? Which part of the nature? That is the part of the nature which Shlomo Melech says must be satisfied ultimately, kizeh kol ha-adam, because there's nothing more, and this is something, and therefore you have to relegate your satisfaction to this area. You say, kizeh kol ha-adam, there's nothing more. But it's very precise that he didn't say it's a lakim ahov, because it's a lakim ahov would be for Kehelas. You understand? That is man in the highest form of his existence. That's not there's no question. That's not my Yisrael. That's on the contrary. That's tachas Hashemesh in Yisrael. Avokadim Hashemesh, yes Yisrael. That's a different realm. Now he's not talking about that. So you see how perfectly he concluded the Sefer, not with Avas Hashem, but with Yiras Hashem, because the Yira is, the whole purpose of the Yira is to control and to place that area of man, that psychological part of man, which is also the part that strives for ambition. The antidote is Yira. And Yira is a siyas ha-mitzvahs v'chol diktu kehal pratela. So man is a composite. Vayadus recognizes that man is a composite, and there's one component that's satisfied by Yira, which means he cannot be a freelance philosopher. Cannot be. Freelance philosopher will not be successful. Doesn't have any part in the Torah society. A true philosopher? Yes. But at the same time, one who needs, who must make recourse to the mitzvahs in order to be on that platform. And why? Because there's a component of his nature that needs it, and that is the same component that Shlomo HaMelech is talking about in Sefer Kehelas. It's that same component, and that's why he says, because that is that same identical component. The component for which Yira is made is the component of Sefer Kehelas. It's the same psychological component. That's why he leaves out Ava, because Ava has nothing to do with it. Ava said. Okay? No, kizeh kol adam, that I explained once before. Kizeh kol adam means there's nothing more. That's what it means. Sof davar kol nishma is not like some people think. You don't need all sefer. Sof davar kol is just one pasuk. Sof davar kol nishma would be keep some mitzvahs and mitzvahs, forget about everything. And what do you all say for? So that's what Kolishma says. Kim Yoravis and Zosim Rakizek Kola Odo means there is nothing more. There is nothing more. The Sefer shows that all human ambition is vain. It's nothing. It's zero. Frustrating. It's empty. It leaves a person lower than when he first started. It's a loss. But Kizek Kola, that's what it means. Kizek Kola Odo. There is nothing more. But if the conclusion would have been just simply there's nothing more, that would be a very depressing conclusion. It wouldn't be Kisra Kaddish. That would be Sisra Torah. You don't tell everybody, the Torah doesn't reveal everybody, it's everybody, everything. And certain things are at a certain level. But the reason why it's Kisra Kaddish is it has a happy conclusion. It has a conclusion that a person can walk away and feel satisfied with. It's true. But if you didn't come to that conclusion, and it would remain a sister there. It would be gunners. It would be concealed. Okay. Yeah.
Is it impossible to move the power of the family out of the window?
Correct. That's correct.
Is it from Montevideo or is
it different? Avram Avinu.
Yeah.
Avram Avinu is different. Well, no. Avram Avinu was the one that was the... He was the genuine. That's why Avraham Avinu is the one that he was the Oved Me'avo. What is it? How do you identify Avraham Avi? He was the essence of Oved Me'avo. But for the person to think that he's Avraham Avinu, he's an idiot. Okay, and he can't do it. So that's basically the idea. You have to understand what is possible and what is practical. Possible is possible. But if a person will think that he could do it, he could be a freelance philosopher, he's a fool. He's fooling himself. Not possible. Okay.
Larry?
Yes.
This would seem to answer the first question, the fear between the Sefer Mitzvos and the Mishneh Torah.
Okay, go ahead.
Because the question was, what happened to Yiras Onesh? In Mishneh Torah.
Right.
Oh, because it's a prerequisite to Avos Hashem. So it's really part of the mitzvah of Avos Hashem. In other words, since it's a prerequisite, it's subsumed under Avos Hashem.
If I remember, wasn't the question. The question we raised was that there's a stira, because the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvah says, Asad Hashem Lakecha Tirah, he says this.
Right.
He says that, right? But in the Mishneh Torah, he doesn't even mention that as a mitzvah.
Exactly.
So you're saying why he changed his mind?
Because since you're saying it's a platform on which you can reach Avos Hashem,
right,
it's subsumed under Avos Hashem. It's not a
separate mitzvah. It's not a separate mitzvah. So why in Sefer Mitzvah does it say it is a separate mitzvah? The Sefer Mitzvah says it is a separate mitzvah.
Yeah, I understand. So then, in other words, the question was whether a mitzvah that is a prerequisite for another, since it's a prerequisite to Avos Hashem, do you count it as a separate mitzvah?
I can see a lot of mitzvahs are prerequisites. You're going to change your whole scheme of a sefer mitzvah. That's what Rambam and Rama says. And then you just have your Hashem and Avos Hashem. Everything else is prerequisite. But I think what we said at the time was, and I think this is important, that there are two things. I think we one time spoke about this, that there's mitzvos and there's divrei Torah. Asaras HaDvarim is not asaras HaMitzvos. The Dvarim means themes. There are ideas in Torah. So the Asaras HaDibros was broken down in terms of themes, not in terms of mitzvos. There are themes and there are mitzvos. But what is true and what is a mitzvah are two different things. Doesn't necessarily mean because something is true that it has to be a mitzvah, or because if you're going to say that this thing is a mitzvah, if you're going to deny it as a mitzvah, it's not true. That's absolutely false. That's a separate question of what is olam minyan mitzvahs. Apparently, the Rambam, that's a separate science, a separate science of what is the science of Tayyad. You have to view that as a separate science in its own right. It's not totally in the philosophy. It doesn't make a thing less important. If it is a mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah. Like I said, like the Ramban says, where do you see Geifers, Asin, Atargos, Levilti, Rum, Levavo, Meyachet? Is that right? You see, yeah, but that's a tremendously important thing, but I don't think any money a mitzvah is counted as a mitzvah. But the system of Tayag is a system, is a science in its own right. The Rambam apparently changed his mind in terms of the science of Tayag mitzvahs from his Sefer mitzvahs to the Yad. There, I think what we said was the question which he mentions somewhere else as to whether you could have a mitzvah where it when it doesn't have a special, any separate mice attached to it. Okay, like over here in the Rambam, in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam says that that Avas Hashem is a phenomenon, and simultaneously you're filled with Yira, so it's a simultaneous phenomenon in terms of a Maisa. If that's the Yira, there's two Yiras Hashem. There's Yiras Hashem, which is the flip side of Avas Hashem. I mean, it's sort of like you can't separate the two, and then there's a separate Yiras Hashem, which is talking about the Yira named Yiras Ha'onesh. Main mitzvah, Yiras Ha'onesh. So we said that it was a guess. I mean, it was conjecture, but I thought it was good conjecture. I thought it was based on something Ram mentions in the, what does he mention? Ram mentions in the Shemana Prakam, the Shemana Prakam. So the question we said was, do I say something which is a mitzvah? Okay, can something be a mitzvah if it doesn't necessitate another mitzvah? But it's just another frame of existence. In other words, Ava and Yira are two separate identities, but the process is one process that brings into play both. So the question is, can you count that as two mitzvahs, or do I say because it's one kind of experience, so it's, and one kind of chiyuv, so it can only count as one? Apparently, in Sefer Mitzvahs he held that it can only count as one. That's why he says Yiras Onesh is lo sosira. But in the Mishnah Torah, he apparently changed his mind, and he held that lo sosira could be the ultimate yira, which is the yira that's tied to Ava. But that would be the right way to go. But what stopped him apparently before was the problem that as a mitzvah, it's not a separate activity, because it's simultaneous. You have both. Apparently, that was his question. But the question, that's a question in the science of Tayyad. It's not a question philosophically. It's not a philosophical point. In Torah, everything has its own realm. This is the realm of the science of Tayyad, and this is the realm of the perfection that Torah gives the person. It's a different area. Two different areas. Yeah, now, let me take up another point. You have the Medrash, which was the Medrash say? The Medrash says, you have the Medrash that says that why did they want to be Gonei Sefer Galus? So the Medrash says why? Because the Dvarav Notim Ledivrei Minos. Okay. It looks like it's clearer. Okay. And there are many things there. I'll show you. The Chazal mentioned a couple of things. It's an interesting thing. The Chazal mentioned a couple of things, but there are more things. And from the Rambam in the Maariv Chacham also, it seems that there are more things. But Chazal just pointed out a couple of them. Smach Bachar Bial Desecha, the Tivcho Libcho Nebuchu Resecha, that a person should be happy when he's young. No doubt. I mean, fantasy is really youth is a time of fantasy. I mean, that's. He says, "Yeah, but the Moshe Rabbeinu says, Lo Socha Olav Ma'anechem." So he says, "So it appears Notin Dvarav Divrei Minos." But the Gemara says, "No." But he says, "But he ended in Kol Zeh Viyachol Kimah Mishpat So Yofa Mashmama." Okay, but the there's an interesting thing that the Medrash says. See, the Medrash says that why do they want to put it in Geniza? Because it was Dvarav Notin Divrei Minos. He says. Of notum of divrei minos. But our Gemara doesn't say that. Our Gemara says for a different reason. It says, Mineshe Dvorav Sosrim Zezer. They contradict each other. You know, they contradict each other. They're different idea. I mean, to me, it seems like two different things. If you say Dvorav is Divrei Minus, okay, I can understand that. All right? What does it mean, Dvorav Sosrim Zezer? Apparently, it's a machlekes. So, like every machlekes, I mean, you have to analyze it. So, Divrei Minus, I understand. It means, you know, you can't have something in the hands of the Hamonam that conveys false notions, okay? That conveys false notions. Even though, as I explained, when a person analyzes one area, he of necessity has to neglect other areas. Otherwise, it's not an analysis of that area in its own right. So you're going to have to, if you're analyzing man from a psychological standpoint, you can't take into consideration his metaphysical obligation. That's not the science of psychology. So you have to be, so therefore, of necessity, you're going to have to say things and have ideas that go against the metaphysical, otherwise you can't analyze honestly this subject area. So that's Dvarav nothing with different meanings. But what does it mean, Dvarav Sosrim Zezer? What's the problem with that? I mean, what's the strange kind of a thing, Dvarav Sosrim Zezer? So what are they saying, that you can't have two opposite statements to the stira? I mean, so on the surface you could say maybe what they're saying is that you can't have something in the hands of the Hamonam that appears to be contradictory because it doesn't guide the people properly, okay? It doesn't guide them properly. Especially, because Kisvei Kodesh, so it's correct. Okay. So that would seem to make sense. But interesting is, when you take a look at the Gemara is like this. My Dvar of Sosim Zezer, what is the Stira? Because it says like this, Ksiv Tov Kas Mischok. First it says that anger is better than laughter. Uksiv, and later it says, Mischok Amati Maholo. Okay? That I said that laughter is very good. Okay? Now, first of all, from a logical standpoint, this is, well, what's the contradiction? It's not a logical contradiction. It says, Tov Kas Mischok. So which is better? So Kas is better. And then it says, Mischok Amati Maholo. Schok is good too. But Kas is better. It's not a contradiction. It's not a contradiction, right? Okay, but anyways, what I want to, I'll get back to that in a minute. But finally, the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says another contradiction is v'shibachti yanias simcha or simcha mazal asa. But let's take the first one. So the Gemara says, look, kasha. Tov kas mischog means tov kas shekoes hakadosh baruch hu la tzadikim b'olam hazeh. The kas, the anger that God shows the tzadikim in this world, is better than the schok shemesachik hakadosh baruch hu la rishoyim b'olam hazeh. It's better than the laughter that God chose the Rishoyim in this world. Okay? It was Chok Amati Maholo, Zeh Chok Shemesachek HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Tzadikim Balam Haba. Okay. Now, I don't think anyone reading Kaelas is going to really figure that out. It's like, it's not something that's readily available to the average reader from the text. I mean, not going to figure that one out. It sounds hard when Chazal say it. It sounds like it's a forced trap. Okay, so it's obviously a deep shot, and if the reason of Dvarav Sosrim Zezer is for the average reader, it's not appropriate to have Kisvei Kodesh that Sosrim Zezer. So how does this solve the problem? Okay, but let me just get back to the I have to get back to the question of the sphere itself because it's too attractive. All right, so what's the answer really? So the question we raise is Tov Kas Mischok. It's not a contradiction. Tov A is better than B. B is good. So A is better. So what's the problem? Tov Kas is not a logical problem. Tov Kas Mischok, and then he says Mischok Amati Maholo. I said Mischok is very praiseworthy, very good. But doesn't mean Kas isn't better. Yeah. But what it means is like this. When he's speaking on a philosophical psychological plane. Tov Kas Mischok means like this, that when a person faces reality, and reality does not conform to his ambitious wishes, to the way he wants things to be, which is that part of man. See, that part of man. So there's two ways you can handle it. One way is to get angry at reality. Angry means it's not conforming to what you want. The other way is schok, to escape it and laughter. Okay? Like, for instance, people have a hard day, they go to the bar, drink, and laugh, and It's escapism. Escapism, laughter. Laughter means you go into an enjoyable state. You know, you bring up the past, and you look at things in an unrealistic way, and you laugh, and you enjoy yourself. That's chok. So tov kas mischok means that the other way is depression. I mean, I don't mean clinical depression, but just philosophical depression. It means anger. It means you look at reality and you're disturbed, and it bothers you that reality didn't conform to your desires. You see. So the question is, which of the two is better? So he says, kas is better. Why? Because he's saying that tzchok, laughter, which is escapism, may be more pleasurable, but in the end, the price is too high. You see, kas is better. He's dealing on a psychological plane. A person, insofar as he's a psychological human being, has to experience this. Has to experience a situation in reality. Things aren't going his way. It's impossible otherwise. So which is the best? Which is the best way to be angry at the situation, or to escape it through laughter? It says tov kas mischok. Says laughter may seem like a good way out, very enjoyable, but the price is very high because it means that you're throwing yourself into a denial of reality. You're better off suffering and being angry at reality, and because at least then you're closer to reality. And you're able to correct it, you see. So then it's an open contradiction, because later he says, well, I said it's a praiseworthy thing to laugh and enjoy and escape reality. That's an impossibility. That's an open contradiction. So Chazal say that's why they wanted to be done a sefer. Here's one example. Doesn't mean, like the Rambam implies in the Marduk, it doesn't mean it's the only example. He's just showing you the nature of the sefer has contradictions. Okay? So the Gemara answers the contradiction. Okay? It has to do with kash, kosh. Well, we'll get to the pshat. But what is the answer to our question? What is the answer to our question? Our question is that this chazal is in disagreement with the other chazal. The other chazal says that what's wrong with Sefer Kehelas is shedvarv notin the divrei minus. Over here, this Al Gemara is saying something totally different. No, let's say the Al Gemara is saying, I don't care about the content. In other words, let's say it have one way. The Gemara should really say, well, which way is right? Is it better to be angry or to escape reality? It's a good question. You have a choice? You only have one or two choices. Okay? So the Gemara over here doesn't seem to be concerned with which position Kehelas takes. If he only took one position, whichever one it was, they'd be happy. They wouldn't be gone as a sefer, you see. But the fact that he took contradictory positions, that demands gneiser. That's a funny kind of thing. I mean, that's why the other medrash makes sense. Shedvarav notim with divrei minus. It means the content is no good. We don't want this content for the harmonim. That makes sense. But over here, he's saying the content doesn't matter. Which one? If he would have kept one, it would be fine. This one, that one, doesn't matter. Content doesn't matter. But what's bad is contradiction. What are Chazal saying? Chazal are basically saying a very deep idea. What they're saying is, right position or wrong position is one question. Okay, a person can, there are speculative positions, and they could be wrong. That's not important. What's important is, if there's contradiction, then it means you've arrived at skepticism. It means there's no solution. Skepticism. On the one hand, this one's good. On the other hand, in other words, which is good? Escape. Well, it depends. On the one hand, escapism is very good. You had a good time. You had a bad day. You had a hard time. That's good. On the other hand, no. Kas is not good because escapism is not good for man. You have to face reality. As difficult as it is, painful, kas, but that's the right way. If Kehelas would have been Vorov Sosrim Zeza, Chazal say that would be a horrible thing. Because that would mean that the Sefer would be saying that there are no true answers. He never arrived, or at least he never arrived at true answers, which means that he was a skeptic. He had this position and that position. There's room to argue this way, there's room to argue that way. Which one's correct? There's no conclusion. You see? That is the worst. That's the worst apocryphal. That's what our Gemara is saying. Our Gemara is saying it's a machlekes. The machlekes is it's a machlekes, but it's close. You see, it's not a real machlekes in the das of Chazal, in their view. You see, in their philosophy, in the true philosophy, it's not a machlekes. But in the specifics, it's a machlekes. One held they wanted to be going to Sefer Tehillos. Why? Because the content is not appropriate. The content is not appropriate. So that's one thing. It's the divrei minus. The other one say what our Gemara says is it's the content. Okay, we could tolerate the content because we know it's an investigation. People know it's an investigation, and when you're investigating, it's a psychological investigation. So you have to investigate his own friend. Say something that's connected to it. But to come out to say that Shlomo HaMelech investigated the subject and his conclusion was that two opposite positions are correct because there's no conclusion, that's the worst thing. That's the worst kfirah. That means that man can't arrive at the truth. Once you say man can't arrive at the truth, then kalafter kol is bubble. That's what our Gemara says. That's the machlokes. That's the machlokes. Excuse me? See, the other side is the content. No, the other side is Dvarav noting with different meaning. That since this is a psychological investigation and you can't take into consideration, it's not legitimate to bring in other positions from Torah which are metaphysically correct, but now that's going to impede the investigation. So therefore you're going to have to say things that are against the true metaphysical position. That's not proper. We can't allow that in Kisekedah. That's the Medrash's position. But our Chazal had a different idea. In our Gemara. The Medrash and our Gemara are two different ideas. Interesting thing. Interesting thing is Ram quotes the Medrash. It doesn't mean. It's two different positions. Yeah, the reason why Ram quotes the Medrash, I'll tell you why the Ram quotes the Medrash. Ram quotes the Medrash. There's a reason why, because the Rambam quotes the Medrash, because the Rambam was talking about a completely different area. He was talking about the question of the Rambam pointed out that there's a difference between the eternity of the universe and the permanence of the universe. So the Rambam said that some people thought that Tehillos taught the eternity of the universe. He says, and they want to support it with the Chazal that says Dvarav notam divrei minus. So the Rambam says, that's a terrible mistake, he says. He says, Chas v'Shalom, there's a crazy thing like that. Shlomo HaMelech had an idea like that. That's clear, he says. Well, Chazal wouldn't discuss this with him. It's nonsense. So that's why he brought the Medrash. Not because he favored the Medrash over the Chazal, the Gemara. I mean, actually, a more primary source is always our Gemara. Gemara is more primary source than the Medrash. What we know, what's in Shas is more primary. But the Rambam quotes the Medrash. It's an authentic Medrash. But the reason is that the Rambam is discussing a totally different thing, and he says that's crazy. But and if you look at the Medrash, you'll see the Rambam's right. Because the Medrash doesn't say anything about that. The Medrash says smach bacher, because of the way of life, not because of the eternity of the universe. Okay. So how does the Gemara's answer help? So all the Gemara wanted to show was, It's not in terms of the reader. You see, the other ones, Dvarav Notam Divrei Minus, is in terms of the reader. This is a different concept that they really thought Dvarav Sosum says there, which means that he couldn't come to a conclusion. So then they thought if he didn't come to it, this is a different. Our Gemara, in other words, is a different reason than the other Gemara. The Gemara of Divrei Minus is in terms of the framework of the reader, that you can't have Kisvei Kodesh that mention things that go against the true position of Torah, even though it's a good method, the correct method in analyzing an area. But that's a different shot. But our Gemara held that he really, at first sight, it looks like he really didn't come to a conclusion. Oh, he really didn't come to a conclusion. You can't have a safe like that. It's not in terms of the reader, it's in terms of the reality of the investigation. You see. So that's what Chazal is saying. No, what it means is like this: that the Tov Kas Shekoyis Hakadosh Baruch Hu Al Tzadikim Bolam Azeh Mischok shemesachek kadosh baruch hu al rishonim ba'olam hazeh. So what is so? All right. Well, maybe we'll take it up. We'll take it up next time. I'll stop it. Okay.
I want to mention before we start that not as a hesped to me, but the Master Taroy is something that's very demanding and something very demanding and requires a lot of thought and a person that's capable of doing it, and I'm not the one that's doing it, but I'd just like to mention a few words about the passing of Rav Yaakov Kalevsky, who was a big Talmud Chacham, a person who was a real Ben Torah, a person that learned Torah Lishma, was involved in Torah Yom V'Lailah's whole preoccupation in his life was learning with Talmidim, and I had the schus to learn by him for a very short time, but he left an indelible impression on me. I was a youngster. But his mesiras nefesh for learning, for his shiurim, his preparation was unbelievable. And his involvement with his talmidim learning was amazing. Somebody told me that when he first came, I learned by him in 1955, and he came in 53. Somebody mentioned that the first years that he was there, so he asked some guys to help him out prepare. And they used to start preparing every night, 10 o'clock, and they'd finish at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. And he used to prepare a shiur, spend hours preparing his shiur. Shiur's about an hour and a quarter, an hour and a half. But he put in a tremendous amount of effort into his shiur. And he was a Talmud of Gedolei Yisrael, Rav Shlomo Hyman, Zechon Lezechasad Lavrach, and Reuben Gazovsky. They were Talmudim of Baruch Ber. And he was a tremendous lamdan and a real malamed Torah, for totally involved with Shema and the learning of Torah. And what amazed me was that I was only there a short time, but he remembered me. Like I saw him a year and a half later, or 2 years later. He asked me how I'm doing and learning. And then over the years, people even mentioned that he saw some of my chaverim. He mentioned me, and it wasn't because maybe I spoke up in the shiur once or twice. I don't remember, but he just had a tremendous ava for talmidim, and the reason just always puzzled me why how we should have such a ability to direct energies to personally to a talmid. When he was really totally preoccupied with learning. But the truth is, it was Hainu Hach, because Mishnantum of Anecha El Talmidecha. I mean, his relationship with Talmidim were really a relationship of Torah, because he realized that he shared with them the most valuable, precious possession a human being could have. And the Talmid was a part of his whole love of Torah. Talmud played a role, so that's why he was able to do that, and he never was involved in political position. He didn't care about position, and he didn't care about kavod. I understand that even though he was a Rosh Hashiva for the last year and a half of his life, he kept his second year base medrash. And he didn't care, he didn't have the highest shiur, that wasn't important to him. Important to him was to be involved in learning with his Talmidim. And he was a remarkable, really remarkable individual. I don't know of too many people that are really on that level of Amita Satara. I don't think he ever in his life thought about how to package Torah, how to sell Torah. All these type of ideas were alien to him, because to him Torah was a mitzvah. Torah doesn't need any help. You know, there's a The Navi gives an account of in Shmuel Beis. So the Navi mentions that when they took the Aron Hashem from Shmuel Beis Vav, they took the Aron Hashem from Bala Yehuda. Vayakom le'elach David v'cholam ha'shitim Bala Yehuda l'halos m'shem ha'saron ha'lekim ha'shenikra shem Hashem tzvakos yoshev ha'kruv malav. So then the famous story where it was an Agalach Hadasha and they came to Goron Nachon le'ishlach uzva el'aron ha'lekim v'yochez bo kishom to ha'baka. So apparently the wagon was shaken and Uzzah went to keep the Aron, to protect the Aron, that it shouldn't fall. And so v'yichaf Hashem buzah v'yakeu Hashem alakim al hashal v'yom Hashem im Aron alakim. So Chazal say, what was the avera? So Chazal say, alash gaga shehoyelo lidrosh kal v'chomer. Nos of Noso Bayardin, who Atzma lo Kolshkin, that the Aron carried the ones that were carrying it over the Yardin. So Kal v'chomer, the Aron itself doesn't need any help. So basically, the limud is that anyone that thinks that the Torah needs assistance, needs help, has to be packaged in a special way, use different methods, modern techniques and methods of packaging, is making a big mistake, because the Torah doesn't need any packaging. The Torah has its own method of influence, and its own way of influence is the truth, the amitis Torah. And there are very few people that really live in that world, and that live that kind of a life. And he was one that lived the life where he knew. You see, Chazal said, what Chazal is saying is that if you think that the Aron needs help, you don't really understand Kedushas Aron. If you understand Kedushas Aron, it doesn't need any help. And he was a person that lived that life, that was makir, the Kedushas of Torah. And his Habatzas Torah was based on a knowledge of the Amitas Torah. And he was a rare individual, a good one, this door, and great loss that for us that such an individual was nifty. Zechet Tzadik L'Racha. Okay, I'd like to continue with the shiur where we left off last week. What was the area that we were Reishis Chochmei Hashem, correct. So we're talking about the end of Kehelas, where he says, Esolakim Yisov Davar Kol Nishma Esolakim Yeroz Mesvosav Shema Kizek Olano. So we were trying to understand, I mean, the something which I think is extremely important. It's the whole Ashkafas Hayadas, the whole Ashkafas Torah, and that is that the that it's a Lakim Ravas Mitzvos Shema Kizek Kol Adam. And we mentioned that he didn't mention anything about Avas Hashem. Because we said Avas Hashem is really the highest level of involvement for man in the highest activity, the highest metaphysical activity that man can engage in is Avas Hashem. But nevertheless, there's another component of his nature which demands that we understand it, we recognize it, we understand it, and we deal with it properly. And we said that's really the whole Sefer Kehelas. But the Sefer Kehelas is a very interesting thing. That the Sefer Kehelas is dealing essentially, I mean, the whole Sefer is dealing with human ambition. And that's really what the Sefer is. And the conclusion of the Sefer is that that realm of man, I mean, that's what he's saying, Sof Dovar Kol Nishma Sof Akim Yirov Es Mitzvosov Shmor Kizek Kol Adam, that that area of man that he's studying has one objective. In other words, that this area of human ambition, the part of man from which human ambition stems, the Torah has a place for it. In other words, the answer to Kehelas, to the realm of man of human ambition, is not in the realm which it seeks out for itself, which is total frustration, and that's what the Sefer shows. But the realm does have a place in reality, and that place in reality is fulfilled through Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem and Shmiras HaMitzvos. It's an interesting thing, you know, in the question of psychology, whether conscience is a separate faculty. Is conscience a separate faculty, or is conscience really the flip side of the same faculty in man that is looking for grandeur, you see, that is striving for ambition? But conscience is when the person fails in the model of ambition that he's set up for himself. So then, since he can't have any satisfaction, so that energy that's frustrated returns against the individual and criticizes him. You see, that's a different concept of conscience. The layman's view of conscience is that conscience is a separate faculty. As a matter of fact, not just a separate faculty, but they maintain it's a very good faculty. And not just a good faculty, but religions will point to it, not just religions, even philosophers, will point to it as a kind of an existential, religious, ethical faculty built into man. In that case, of course, it's a separate entity, you see. And they even go so far as to mystify it and endow it with special mystical properties, as if it's a source of religious truth, you see. But Yadus does not hold that way. Yadus holds the other way. You see from Shlomo HaMelech, it's an amazing thing. But from Shlomo you see that that is not the case. Because were that the case, then the last pasuk in Kehelas would not make any sense. Because, so l'kim yirov es mitzvosov shmor ki zeh kol ha'odom, sounds like it's catering not to the faculty of ambition, but to the faculty of conscience, you see. But so what does that have to do with the entire Sefer? The amazing thing is that Shlomo HaMelech held the other way, namely that conscience is not a religious faculty. The proof, of course, is that conscience depends upon how the person was raised. I mean, a person who's raised in a society where to kill somebody is a virtue will have pangs of conscience if he doesn't do it. If he doesn't act upon the way he was raised. I mean, there are people who have interviewed members of organized crime who will tell you that those people, if they don't commit murder, they're going to feel very guilty. It's a matter of honor in the contrary. So that's a myth, basically. It's a myth, and religions use it to promote themselves. I mean, they'll make recourse to conscience. It's a good self promotion for religion, because people don't know, and they're raised in this society, and everybody has conscience. They say, oh, that's the faculty of reality, religious reality. But the truth is it's not so, because a quick study of various societies will show you that conscience will always accommodate whatever the society teaches. The conscience has no specific value. It's not a built-in kind of ethical standard faculty that would convey truth in matters of ethics. It has nothing to do with truth. And on the contrary, that's why in Yahadus we don't have such a thing. Other religions have no Torah, so they have to make recourse to something, so they'll endorse conscience. In Yahadus, it's only Torah. Conscience is a very, very dangerous thing. In Yahadus, it's Elokim Yirah Ves Mitzvosav Shmor Kizek Olam. But the fact that Kehelas used Elokim Yirah Ves Mitzvosav Shmor Kizek Olam in answer to his sefer, which is a sefer that deals with the ambition of man, shows you an interesting thing. Namely, that he holds that those two areas are very closely connected. Not only closely connected, but they're basically one. In other words, the part of man that searches for ambition is the same part that whatever that is, in other words, the way the person sets up his picture of ambition, that's the way he's going to, his conscience will react, you see. In other words, when he fails, then he's going to get pangs of conscience because he failed in fulfilling the model of his ambition, you see. That is the true idea. And that's the idea that Shlomo Melech is saying. Because he's saying, Sof Dovar Kol Nishma, he's talking about the part of man that's tied to ambition, and he says there's only one answer to that faculty in man. And that is that it must be satisfied insofar as possible with Elokim Yirah, Yiras Hashem, and with Mitzvosav Shemar. Okay, Mitzvosav Shemar. Which means to say, as we said last week, that Yahadus does not maintain that a person can just be a freelance metaphysician. He's just going to engage in Avas Hashem and bypass the part of his mind that deals with the areas of ambition and conscience. Cannot do it. But how is that to be satisfied? That is satisfied with Yiras Hashem and with mitzvahs. So Yiras Hashem and mitzvahs are really the foundation upon which the endeavors of the true metaphysician of Yahadus take place. Without that, he cannot be successful. Without that, he cannot be successful. So Shlomo Melech was saying that that's the only place where the ambition can really find its satisfaction. And how does it find its satisfaction? Because that faculty, when it's devoted to Yiras Hashem and to mitzvos, then it will be properly engaged in a way that will serve as a basis for the involvement in the highest level of human activity, which is Chochmas Hashem. Okay. So the mitzvahs, how do the mitzvahs do this? Because the mitzvahs really have two functions. One function is they restrain the individual, you see, because that faculty must have restraint. Without the restraint, you see, so then the emotion simply will go wild. So the mitzvahs restrain a person. That's on a basic level. But also, every mitzvah, in the restraint of the mitzvah, is not just a simple act of restraint, but there always is an idea in every mitzvah which directs a person and sets his ambition, you see. So the mitzvah really functions in two ways. The mitzvah functions, one, in that it simply doesn't allow free rein for the emotions. It pulls back and it contains the energy. It contains the energy, that's number one. And two, every mitzvah also has an idea, contains an idea. That's what we said we went through last year. Because the mitzvahs give a person direction. When he understands the mitzvah and the idea of the mitzvah, it gives him a certain direction. This is the proper channeling for the ambition. The satisfaction that the individual is Yirei Hashem, you see, that he gains a satisfaction through that. It also accomplishes restraint, and he gains satisfaction through the fact that he is Yirei Hashem, and also the mitzvahs give him direction and set his sights properly, which is a part of the faculty of human ambition, you see. That's basically what Shlomo was saying. Sof Dabar Kol Mishma. But it's interesting that this whole philosophy, this is a yesod in the philosophy of the Aris. I mentioned this because people have a hard time understanding the Aris, because when they see mitzvahs and gedukei mitzvahs, so they want to believe this is the end product, and it must be something's going on here with these gedukei mitzvahs. That's an end in itself, and it's not true. It's not true. The end is really Maisa Bereshis and Maisa Merkava. That's the Dava Gadol. That's Chazal say. That is the end. But it doesn't mean, at the same time, it doesn't mean that you could make light of the medium which is necessary and which is built for the human psyche. Because the Borei Olam knows how the human psyche is constructed, and he knows what to give in order to give it a chance, an opportunity to perfect itself. That's why what Chazal said, "Barasi Eitzar, Barasi Torah Tavu." So it means that without this direction of Torah, a human being will be lost, and he can't negate. You cannot negate the framework and the platform. Cannot be negated and cannot be viewed lightly. You see, the problem is that man doesn't want to recognize his weakness, and he wants to think that he's a great philosopher and a great thinker. It's partially true. Partially true. Yes, man can be a great philosopher and a great thinker, the greatest thinker, but it does not mean that he could do that without taking recognition of a component of his nature which demands a certain kind of prescription. And that component of his nature is the same component that the Sefer Kalis is talking about, and that component must ultimately live in accordance with the formula of Asalakim Yeravis Mitzvoso Shemar. But it's interesting, this whole philosophy is really a philosophy that was mentioned before Kahelas. He wasn't the first one to enunciate this. First, the one that mentions it very clearly, and which Chazal point to, is Yeshayahu Hanavi. And it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Pasuk in Yeshayahu Lamed Gimel. It's a well-known pasuk. Pasuk says like this. Pasuk says, "V'hoya amunas itecha, chosen yeshuos, chachmas vadas." It's interesting. Chachmas. Don't say chachma vadas. Chachmas vadas. Yiras ad Hashem hi otzara. Everybody's familiar with the last part of the pasuk. Yiras ad Hashem hi otzara. That's exactly what it means. Yiras ad Hashem hi otzara means that's the otzara. That's the container, the vessel that contains it. But look at the pasuk. What does it mean, the pasuk? Just the plain shot. The pasuk, hard to read the words that are nothing sometimes. The plain shot. V'hoya emunas itecha. What does it mean, v'hoya emunas itecha? The pasuk before says, Nisgav Hashem ki shochein morom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above, shochein morom, beyond. Milei Tzion Mishpor Tzedakah. Okay.
And HaKadosh Baruch Hu filled Tzion with Mishpat Tzedakah. That's part of Yedias Hashem is Oif Tzedakah, Oif Tzedakah Mishpat. V'hoya Emuna Sitecha. V'hoya, who? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Emuna Sitecha. What's Emuna Sitecha? Sitecha, ace, many times means a bad thing, a bad thing. For instance, you'll take a look, because it means the times change. Bad, when things change, it could be for the bad. Sometimes ace could be good, but many times it's bad. For instance, you take a look at Kehelas, Pasuk, in Perek Tes and Kehelas, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Shafti v'ro'o sachas ha-shemesh. So I took a look and I saw under the sun, ki lo lakalim ha-merots, that not to the fast runners is not to the fast runners do the fast runners succeed at escaping. V'lo lagiborim ha-mulchama, many times not the powerful people are the ones that win the battle. V'gam lo lachachamim lachem. And also many times, even though a person's a chacham, no matter how smart he may be, in business or whatever, he could still be in a state of starvation. The gamlo and vonim osha. And no matter how deep a person thinks in monetary matters, he may not be wealthy. The gamlo yodim chayim. And also, not all those who have knowledge, do they have chayim among people, because for most people, the benefit of knowledge is that people respect them for their knowledge. No, lo ayodim chayim doesn't. Sometimes you see, doesn't work that way. Why? Ki ace vafega yikres kula. That's the ace comes along, and things change, and all the plans are suddenly gone, and then there's a whole disruption, and the natural law fails to function. That's ace. Ace for fega yikreskola. Ace is bad. So again, you have in Kehelas Ches also. Kehelas Ches, he says, also uses the ki lochol chevet sheish ace umishpat ki ros ha'odam rabalov. So ace many times is bad. That's what it means. V'hoya emuna sitecha. Amazing part. V'hoya emuna sitecha. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki nizgavar Hashem ki shochein maram. V'hoya emuna sitecha. He, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be the emuna. Emuna means, emuna does not mean blind faith. Emuna means knowledge, where the knowledge in a general way, But the particulars you don't know. See, that's where a person has emunah. Why does a person need emunah? Because emunah means that he knows the general, but the particulars look like they're not falling in line with the general. That's when a person's emunah plays a role. Emunah means trustworthy. That's neman. It means if a person really has trust in his knowledge, so even though all the particulars look like they're going against the Chachma, he's faithful. He's faithful to the Chachma. That's the main Amunah for Klal Yisrael is the Amunah of Lasid Lavo. That's the Nevi'im. Neman Torah Hashem Elokeinu. And Neman Dvarach. So it means, even though everything looks like it's against that, the whole political situation is against that idea, but no. We're faithful to that idea because we know that it's true generally, even though the particulars appear to be in contradiction to this idea. That's Amunah. So V'hoya Amunah Sitecha means when the time is bad, Ki Eis V'Fega Yikres Kulam, when the time is bad, so what carries the person through? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nisgav Hashem Shochei Maram. He's Nisgav. We don't understand and we don't have knowledge of him, but we know of his existence, we know of his Torah, and he is the Emunah in the bad times. That's what the Navi is saying. V'hoya Emunas Itecha. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Emunah, the source of the Emunah in the eighth tzara, the bad time. Then the Navi goes on, Chosen Yeshuas. Same thing. Chosen Yeshuas. Okay, the strength of Yeshua, of salvation, of redemption, of a person finding himself in a good way, Yeshua. Chosen Yeshuas. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he goes on and says, Chochmas Vados. Doesn't say Chochma Vados. Because, of course, what is it based on? It's not based on a nonsensical belief. It's based on Chochma. Chochmas Vados. What's Chochmas? It's Smichos. It means Chochmas Hashem. Chochmas Hashem. Chochmas Vados. Okay? So that is really what pulls the tzaddik through. That's what pulls him through. That pasuk. V'hoya emunas itecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emunas itecha. Chosen Yeshuos. Chachmas vadas. That's what the Navi says. But he concludes, that's really the essence. That's the essence. That's why Yechazek David Bar Hashem Olakov. Since David was in trouble, so Yechazek David Bar Hashem Olakov. What pulled him through? Yedias Hashem. So that's what the Navi is saying. V'hoya emunas itecha chosin Yeshua is chochmas v'das. Beautiful pasuk. Pasuk concludes, Yiras at Hashem he otzara. Amazing thing. What does it mean? It means that's true, that it is true that the essence is chochmas v'das. That's the essence. But Yirasad Hashem he Otsara. What is the Otsar? What is the silo that contains the wheat? What is the Otsar? What is the container, the vessel that makes it possible? Yirasad Hashem. Right, that's the pasuk. That's the pasuk. Interesting Chazal. So Chazal say in Gemara Shabbos is on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. Gemara says like this. Gemara answers your question. Mark's question. Amar Rish Lakish, my dichsiv, v'hoya emunas itecha, chosen yeshuos, chochmas v'da'as. So the Gemara says, emunas, zesei d'zroyet. Itecha, zesei d'moet. Chosen, zesei d'noshim. Yeshuos, zesei d'nezikin. Chochmas, zesei d'kachim. Vadas zesei d'taris. So what does Gemara mean, basically? It means kol haTorah kula. That's what it means. That's what it means. Shisha Sidra Mishnah. There's a remez in the pasuk for Shisha Sidra Mishnah. It means kol haTorah kula. So it means that's the highest level. There's a remez in the pasuk. The pasuk has a pshuto shemikra, but there's a remez in the pasuk. The remez in the pasuk is written, it's constructed in a way of chachma, as marames for shisha sidre mishnah. Okay, and every one has its own. Why each one is appropriate for each one, Rashi explains why each seder is marum as this one by amuna, this one. There's a reason for each one, and tahiris is the das, and then tahiris is. The Daz Esef Tavis is the biggest one. The Rambam says that Tyrus was the most abstract, the most difficult area in Shas, is Tyrus. So, it's Kol HaTorah Kula, that's what it means. So it means, what is your strength? Your strength is Kol HaTorah Kula. That's in the positive. But look what Chazal say. But Chazal conclude, Va'afilo Hachi, and even so, Yirasad Hashem Hiyotzo. In spite of that, even so, Yirasad Hashem Hiyotzor. Okay, the Gemara says, Amar Rava B'shoshim Achisim On Ladin. When a person comes to the next world, Omrim Lo Nasasa V'Nasata B'Amuna. Were you honest and you're in business? Kavata Itim LaTora Asakta B'Pirv Rivya Tzipisul Yeshua Pupalto B'Chachma Hevanta Dover Mitach Dover Va'Filu Hachi. Chazal say, if the person was an individual, that in spite of all these milas, he still was engaged in Yiras Hashem, means he didn't neglect that part of his nature, then in, yes. Ilo. But if he thought that he could just accomplish these positive things, and they're all great things, every one of them. The essential things, the essential things in the whole Derech HaChaim, the whole objective of Torah. But nevertheless, Ilolo. But even if he did not, if he did not take care of that part of his nature, you see, the other part of his nature, and he didn't direct it towards Yiras Hashem Yatzoro, lo. It says, Moshal Adam, the Gemara says, Sha'oma L'shlucho, Halali Kur Chitim L'Aliyah. Okay, bring me up a certain measure of wheat to my attic. Holach V'Helolo. So he went and he brought him the amount of wheat, the grains that he wanted. Amalai, he said to him, a raftali b'hen kav chumten? Did you guarantee it by putting in, they used to put in a certain kind of salty earth in the wheat, so like a preservative, you say, so it won't rot. So he said, did you put in that kav of the salty earth to preserve the grains so they don't rot? Amalai lav. He said, no, I didn't do that. Amalai, so he said to him, mutavim lo aliso. It would have been better if you didn't bring it up there. In other words, what you did was worse. Better be out in the field, better off. So because now it's subject to deterioration, it's a spoilage. So that's what Chazal says. So basically, what are Chazal saying? I mean, that's really the whole philosophy of Kala Tera Kula. And that's the catch. I mean, that's the catch. That philosophers have tried to approach Torah unsuccessfully, because they thought they could do away with that component of man, with Yiras Hashem Yotzor, and you can't. And that's what Yishayahu HaNavi said. That's why it's written that way, by the way. V'hoya amunasitecha, see, Chazal answered your question. V'hoya amunasitecha, what is the thing that really stands by you and gives you the ability to trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is v'hoya amunasitecha, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but doesn't mention openly because it's Chochmas V'das. V'hoya amunasitecha chosen Yeshuos, Chochmas V'das, through Chochmas Hashem and Das Hashem. That's the essence. That's the essence of Amunah. That's the essence of what pulls the person through. The engaging in Yediyas Hashem and Chochmas Hashem and Torah and Shisha Sidrei Mishnah and the Kol HaTorah Kula. That is the essence. But afilu hachi, but even in spite of that, Yiras Hashem Yatzor. If the person recognized the other part of his nature, the part of the nature of man that's attached to ambition, that component which contains ambition and conscience, that other component of his nature, if he took care of it and he engaged it in Eselokim Yeravis Mitzvos of Shemar, if was engaged properly in Yiras HaOnesh and in Shmiras HaMitzvos, so then he took care of that component of his nature. You see? Then in, yes. But if he didn't do that, lo. In spite of the positive gains, he won't reach perfection. He won't reach perfection. That's what Chazal is saying. Beautiful. But that's really the whole. That really is the idea behind the whole concept of Yahadus. That's where Yahadus differs. Like I said, philosophers have tried to approach Torah unsuccessfully, and that's why there were philosophers who walked away from the Maran Avraham, as I mentioned, you know, and they held enough to keep the mitzvahs just to be a philosopher. So why did the Rambam spend all his life in the Dukkah Mitzvahs? It's nonsensical. Yeah. So they there were mystics that approached Torah unsuccessfully, because the underlying core of everything in our system is again and again the Torah mentions and the Navi mentions Chochma Vadas, Chochma Sashem, and Yediyah and Chochma and everything surrounding, and the Navi gives Musar again and again, because you abandon Chochma and you Moas say Chochma. Everything is Chochma. So the question is, if everything is Chochma, so then why all the mitzvahs and the Dikdukah mitzvahs? And what is the significance? The answer is Yiras Hashem Yatzara. And if you think it's a small thing, That's why the Navi, Chazal explaining, the Navi put it in a way, don't make a mistake here, that Vayamunis Techachos Meshuas, Chachmas Vadas, that's correct, but Vafilo Achi, Yerser Hashem Yetzorah. If Yerser Hashem Yetzorah in, Ilolo. That's what Chazal said. That's, that pasuk gives you the whole Ashkafas Olam of Yadas. Yes. What Shlomo Melech is saying is that there's only one place for that, for the ambition. That is the reflection that he's in line with Torah. But that component of man, when man does that, he's not engaged anymore in Avas Hashem. That's not that. Then he's engaged in Selekin Yeravis Misvasa Shemar. You understand? That's because that's not Avas Hashem. He's not engaged. When a person is engaged in Yediyas Hashem, he's not thinking about himself. He's completely removed. And I said Moshe Rabbeinu was a Sechel Nifrad. He didn't think about himself. He was only involved constantly in Chachmas Hashem. I mean, that was, you understand? But that's Moshe Rabbeinu who reached that level. That's what the Rambam says, that he was a Sechel Nifrad. What does a Sechel Nifrad mean? It means he was removed from the life of every ordinary human being, you see. But the Torah was given for ordinary human beings. Okay? Moshe Rabbeinu was an exception. But the Torah is given for everybody. So Yiras at Hashem Yotzorah means that it means to say that without an ordinary human being, if he doesn't find the satisfaction in the fact that he keeps the mitzvahs, and he's Yiras, and that's what it means. I mean, when he reflects on himself that he's a Talmud Chacham. Okay, yeah, that's fine, but that means mitzvah of Shemar. So what does it mean? It means he's living in line with the reality of the Torah. That's correct. That's good. But that's not Avas Hashem anymore. That's what it means. That's Eselakim Yeravis Mitzvah of Shemar. Okay, that's correct. That's okay. That is the proper place for man's ambitious drive. That's the proper place. That's correct. That's what he's saying. You can have a lot of things. The only question is, are you going to be successful in them? That's the question. You can have a lot of things. That's what I was saying. He could be Nosev and Osim Bamuna. He could have learned. He could have done all these great things. But it still doesn't mean he's successful. Yeah, there were splintered events in his life. But if that's what Chazal means. Well, yeah, did you do this? Yeah, I did that. You learned that? Yeah, you learned that. All the things he did. But Vafilo Hachi in Yiras and Hashem Hiyotzoro in Ilolo. What does it mean? It means if it was done in a way where the element of his nature, the other element of his nature, was satisfied through the method of Eselakim Yerov, Es Mitzvos of Shemor, then in. What does it mean? He was successful. The Ilo, and if not, not. I'm not saying that a philosopher can't, a freelance philosopher can't have the satisfaction of thinking he's a philosopher. He has a satisfaction. That doesn't mean he's going to be successful in his life fully in living a life that's correct before Kodesh Baruch Hu. That doesn't necessarily mean that. Yeah, there are many philosophers that had great ideas, and we're not saying those ideas are incorrect. Good ideas. Very good ideas. The Gemara Chazal, the Gemara quotes Ben Sira. He had very good ideas. Ideas are good, Mark Watson. But it doesn't mean that he's a perfected person. What we're talking about is an individual who has lived a life of perfection. That is impossible without Torah mitzvah. So Lakim Yerovitz, Vesvitz, Shmor, Kizek, Olodom, it's not possible. That's what the Pasuk is saying. And that's the Pasuk in Yishayahu. This is the formula for life. But the formula is a complex one because it has an Otsar, which is so significant that it cannot be disregarded. It's just like the Gemara's Mashal is a beautiful Mashal, perfect Mashal. What's the main thing? The main thing is the Torah. Of course the main thing is the Torah. There's no question about it. You don't eat sand. Eat Torah. But without the sand, without the preservative, the Torah is not going to last. It means it won't be successful. So you have wonderful Torah, but it's not going to last. So the point is that man, in his arrogance, wants to think that he can do away. He can do away with that element. This is not for. He doesn't need this. He doesn't. He doesn't need. He doesn't need the restraint. He doesn't need the direction. You see, it's not necessary for him. And he could do without it. And he'd just be a philosopher. That, the Navi says, is not true. That he will never be successful. Won't be successful. We have moments, we can have wonderful moments. But a moment and the perfection of the soul are two different things.